I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Work On Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. That's DreAllDay.com/audible. You are now tuned in to the best show in all of media worldwide. This is the podcast that teaches you the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence of putting yourself out there boldly and authentically day after day, and the mental toughness of continuing to show up, putting in the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you expected to be here did not yet show up. We throw a big dose of personal initiative on top of all of that so you can go and make it happen instead of waiting for it to happen. This podcast is called Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. And today's topic, today we're going to talk about some of my failures. Today we're going to talk about times in life where I came up short, where I didn't do the things that I needed to do, or maybe I was doing things that I thought I needed to do. It turned out to be the wrong things that I was doing, or maybe I just didn't even know what to do. So I did something. Usually I ended up doing something. Most of the time I didn't do nothing, and that turned out to not work. I turned it to not get the result, even though I put the time, effort, energy in and did a whole lot of work, maybe accomplished a whole bunch of stuff, but it didn't move me any closer to wherever it was I wanted to go. I want to talk about these things here today, talk about some of my failures, because I don't want this podcast to seem like I'm a college professor standing up in the front of the room wagging the yardstick or wagging the finger at everyone else. I want all of you to understand that every person on their way to success has to go through failures, has to go through times where they set a goal and they do not reach it, has to have situations where they figure they have done everything right, they have everything lined up properly for them to reach success, whatever they deem success, and they don't get it. They do everything that's supposed to be done. They see another person doing the same thing. That person gets the success. That person gets the outcome. But this person doesn't get the outcome. I have been this person who didn't get the success many times in life. I've been the person who did not get the outcome many more times than I've been the person who did get the outcome. I've many times in life looked around and said, okay, when I see this break happening for this person had their big break. This worked for that person. This worked for that person. When is something going to work for me? So this episode is going to give some background on me, some things maybe you didn't already know, and maybe some more detail on things that I mentioned at some point in the show. And also to give you hope to understand that just because it's not working for you right now doesn't mean it will forever not be working. It will work eventually as long as you keep working, as long as you keep showing up. That's why we talk about mental toughness, to show up every single day, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success is yet to show up. So let's get right into it. I'm going to give you three of mine. Number one, my sophomore year of college basketball. Now, you got to understand, I started playing basketball at age 14. By age 18, I was on the varsity basketball team at my high school, Engineering and Science, George Washington Carver High School of Engineering and Science in North Philadelphia. I went and visited the school actually in the summer of 2016, took some pictures. It wasn't anybody there, but I took some pictures inside the school and all of that. But I finally made the varsity team as a senior. That's the only year I made it. Sat the bench, only scored 2 points per game. You can read about that in my book, Buy a Game, which you can get free at DreAllDay.com right there on the homepage. Then my freshman year, I walked on at a school called Penn State Abington, which at the time was 2 years athletically, but 4 years academically. I only went to Penn State Abington because I was going to go to Morehouse University. My parents told me kind of late in the process that, hey, we can't afford to send you to Morehouse, even though Morehouse had offered me a 50% academic scholarship, 50% off of, I believe, 50% off of the tuition, not counting the room and board, the travel, and all of that stuff. So I ended up not being able to go to Morehouse at the last minute. enrolled at Penn State Abington because I had applied to several colleges. Penn State was one that accepted me. My parents said, go to Abington because it's close to Philadelphia. You can live at home for this first year. And then after a year, we'll see what you're going to do. We'll see what's going to happen. So I went along with it because I had no power to do anything else. I didn't have the resources. I wasn't paying for it. Went to Penn State Abington my first year, played on the basketball team, walked on, made the team, played okay. I played better my freshman year of college than I did my senior year of high school, actually. My game was, and my body, my skills, my confidence were all starting to develop over time. And that year I did okay again. I didn't set the world on fire. There wasn't anybody rushing to the games, standing room only, sitting in the front row to see this guy Dre. That wasn't happening. I was just okay. That summer, I decided, hey, I'm just going to work on my game. I had no prospects to go anywhere else, no other colleges that I could give any reasonable reason why I wanted to go there instead of staying at Abington. And I was on a basketball team. I figured, hey, if nothing else about this situation is that great, which it wasn't, I mean, I'm still living at home in college, I can at least be good on the basketball team next year at Abington. So I spent the summer, aside from my job, I was working at CVS, the pharmacy, not in the pharmacy, but CVS, the convenience store. All I was doing was working on my game. I would drive to Penn State Abington's campus every day because there was a gym there that no one else used. I mean, a huge, expansive gym, well-kept gym, beautiful gym, one of my favorite gyms of all time that no one was ever in. I would go in there, lift weights, play basketball. I'd be in there for hours and no one would come in there to use it at all the entire time I was there. I spent my whole summer, that was the summer of 2001. Summer of 2001, working on my game. One day, I'm walking in the cafeteria on campus at Abington because I hadn't eaten yet. A guy approached me. He ended up being the coach at Penn State Altoona, which is an NCAA Division III school. He recruited me to Altoona to come play there. He turns out he hadn't even seen me play at that point. He just figured his intuition told him this guy looks like the type of player that I need, and he ended up being right. So Kenny Macklin, who was that coach who approached me at on Abington's campus that random day he happened to be there, I go to Penn State Altoona under him as the coach, the guy who recruited me. Then I get there, and I get benched by the very guy who recruited me. Now, why is that? Is this some unfairness that happened? No, this wasn't unfair at all. Actually, when I got there, I didn't realize at that time, I did not realize, because mind you, I had only played on my high school varsity team for 1 year and sat the bench, and I played at Penn State Abington for 1 year where I just had more talent than all the other freshmen on that team. I had more talent than all of them put together. So just on talent alone, without really working hard or really being disciplined or really understanding things, I was able to outshine them and be a better player than them just on talent alone without any real work ethic, at least when it came to team practice. Individually, I always had work ethic, but when it came to practicing with the team, I didn't have that work ethic. So I got by on that at Abington. But when I got to Altoona, the skill level was a little bit higher of the players on the team, and the demands made by the coach were a little bit higher than the demands made by my coach at Penn State Abington, and Kenny Macklin benched me. I wasn't putting in the work in practice. Not that I didn't have game. It's not that I couldn't hang with the other players on the court. I could still do the same things. I was even better as a player my sophomore year, but I sat on the bench that entire season. I played, but I didn't play that much. Every game that I suited up for, I played in, but I didn't play as much as I should have been playing, and I was playing behind guys who didn't have anywhere close to the skill level that I had simply because I didn't know how to work hard in practice every day. I wasn't used to the level of intensity that the coaches and the players brought to practice every single day. I was not used to it. I was not ready for it. It was a complete shock to me. And even once I realized what it was, I still didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to respond to it. And I didn't like playing less than the less talented players. They were playing in front of me, even though I had more game than them. So that kind of wore on my attitude. So my attitude actually got worse. I came in there just not ready to work hard. I didn't have a bad attitude, just not ready to work hard. I was sitting on the bench and I saw I'm better than these guys and they're playing more than me. So my attitude got worse because of that, because I'm looking around saying, hey, this is not fair. I was used to getting by on talent alone. I wasn't used to anyone saying, hey, yeah, you have skill, but you got to do more than that if you're going to play. The playgrounds that I came up playing on, if you had skill, you were going to play. The rec leagues that I played in, if you had skill, you were going to play. If just playing pickup, if you had skill, you were respected. You didn't have to really work hard. I mean, the pickup basketball game, I don't know there's really such thing as working hard in a pickup basketball game. Our team, my sophomore year anyway, back to the story, our team was terrible. We started the season 0-18. We lost our first 18 games of the year. The coach who recruited me, Kenny Macklin, he had been there for several years. It was my first year with him, his first year with me. He got fired at the end of the season. And to this very day, I believe it was partly my fault that he got fired, because we would have won more games if I had shown up. If I had shown up and been a disciplined player, if I had some practice habits, which I don't know if he expected me to have those practice habits. Maybe he thought he would drill them into me. I don't know. I didn't have them coming into Penn State Altoona. He didn't give them to me. He basically said, okay, either you're going to develop them or you're going to sit on the bench. And I chose the latter, to sit on the bench. Unconsciously, I chose the latter, to sit on the bench. He ended up losing his job. I think we would have won a lot more games had I shown up and been ready to play. I mean, skill-wise, I had just as much, if not more, skill than everybody else on that team. Athletic ability, ball handling ability, shooting ability, defensive rebounding. I could do basically every area of the game. There were players on that team who were good ball handlers, really good shooters, good defenders, good rebounders. We had people who were good at different areas of the game. I believe I was the only player on that team who was good at every area of the game. And I'm saying that, okay, you could say I'm tooting my own horn. I am, but at the same time, I'm telling you how ridiculous it is that I had all these skills, but I was sitting on the bench for a team that was 0-18. I was sitting on the bench looking like, man, if I was in the game, I could help us and we could probably win some of these 18 games of which we've lost all of them. But I hadn't earned my spot. And that was a real failure for me my sophomore year because, again, the guy who recruited me got fired. So guess what? I still got 2 years of college left. I'm here at Penn State Altoona. The coach who recruited me isn't here anymore. A new coach is coming in. That guy's name was Armin Gilliam. I lasted 8 games under Armin Gilliam before I was kicked off the team. That was the end of my college basketball career. I think we can say that was a failure. Can we all agree that that was pretty much a failure? That's one story that I want to tell you. And I can tell you more about that if you want to know. Just let me know. Number two, bleeding right into that. Coming out of my senior year of college, I knew I wanted to play pro basketball. I didn't know how, when, where, what. I didn't know who to ask a question. There wasn't one to ask a question. Mind you, this is 2004 when I graduated from college. So the internet did exist. There were websites and blogs and all of this stuff. There was no YouTube. I'm not sure podcasting existed. There was no Instagram. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. None of this stuff existed. There were just blogs and websites. There was no one on the internet putting out a whole bunch of information on how to play basketball overseas. And if you've listened to the show enough, you've heard me mention many times that if you look it up now, you're going to see my stuff over and over and over again. But I wanted to be a pro. After coming out of college, after not playing my last 2 years, basically last year and a half, not playing at all, I knew my resume as a college player wasn't going to get me into the pros. I had to go somewhere and get seen as a pro. I did that, went to an exposure camp. And mind you, I'm making this story sound a whole lot shorter than it actually was. I graduated in May 2004, I started my pro career September of 2005. So for a year and a half, I was out of the game completely and everyone was pretty much saying, okay, or anyone who thought of it, and I don't think many people had too much reason to think about it since I hadn't even played my senior year of college. So if anyone had thought about it, they would have thought, okay, Dre was on the team at Altoona. He was a pretty good player. He was athletic. He could dunk. Okay, now he's working at Bally Total Fitness. He's the manager of Foot Locker. All right. Well, they would just forget, they would just disassociate basketball and my name because they knew that's pretty much all it was going to be for me. And any reasonable, logical person would have agreed with them, like my mother. She was reasonable and logical, and she agreed with it too. But much of my pro career, all the way from 2005 all the way up through when I stopped playing professionally, I faced a whole lot of failure. So you got to refer to my episode where I talk about success real versus fake. Actually, not my episode, but the chart. If any of you have ever seen that graphic or that meme online where it says most people think success looks like this, and is a line going up and to the right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Whereas then there's another one right next to it, another chart next to it that says what success really looks like. And there's a line that's going all different directions, up and down, going in circles, is going backwards, is going upside down. Then eventually maybe it starts going up and to the right. But after a whole lot of other stuff that wasn't expected, wasn't planned for, and probably we could have did without. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? What success really looks like versus what people think success looks like. You know what I'm talking about, right? Mine didn't look like that. My career didn't look anything like that. There were many times I was going backwards. There were times I was low. There were times I was off the page. They have that chart that's showing you the X and Y axis. They're not showing you below the X axis or to the left of the Y axis. There were times I was all the way to the left or all the way to the bottom of that axis. I started more focus, and the reason many of you know my name, just to give a little bit of depth, a little bit of context to how all of this came about. I started putting more focus on building what became known as a personal brand. At the time, no one was calling it that, by focusing on my website, by starting to put more videos on YouTube and build out this whole Dre All Day thing, this whole work on your game thing, which wasn't really a thing at the time. It was just something that I was doing kind of for fun while I'm trying to pursue this career to be a pro basketball player. I realized, you know what? There's so many ups and downs in this career. There's so many things that I don't control, so many things not working in my favor. I better start doing something that I may be able to have some control over, something that I know exactly what's going to happen day to day, and I have 100% say, creative control on how it works, and total control, every area, emotional, financial, physical control over how everything works. I started putting more focus into that stuff, which became this stuff that you're listening to now, because my career wasn't working. If my pro basketball career had been working, quote unquote, that means I get out of one contract, and as soon as that contract's up, my agent would have me lined up for another contract, and then another one, and another one. DJ Khaled voice. If that had been happening, you probably would not be listening to this podcast right now, because I would not have had to focus on anything outside of just play basketball. If I had not had to focus on something outside of just play basketball, that's because my career would have been working and working and working. And the funny thing is, in the long run, it ended up being good for me, because there are a lot of basketball players who play overseas for many years and their career, quote unquote, works. They get off one job, they get right into the next one. They get out of job, they know in June where they're going to be in September because they already have the contract lined up. That never, ever happened for me in almost 10 years. Never did that once happen for me. I was in the summertime and people say, oh, you just came from overseas. Yeah. Okay. Where are you going to play next? I don't know. The answer was always, I don't know. It was always stress and anxiety around late August going into September. I hated that time period. That 6-week period from mid-August through all of September, I hated it for years. Why? For two reasons. Number one, it reminded me of school, and I wasn't in school anymore. School was actually fun. At least college was fun socially. So I wasn't there anymore. So now I got to think about all the stuff that I used to do then that I can't do anymore because I'm not in college. And number two, I'm supposed to be a professional basketball player, but I'm unemployed. I'm supposed to be a pro athlete, but I'm unemployed. What is this? I didn't like that time of year for years because it wasn't working for me. Much of my pro career, I would face failure after failure after failure. If you want to call being signed to a team success, I faced a whole lot of failure. I spent more time failing than I spent succeeding. And because of that, I had to start building my brand. And that all that business stuff was because pro hoops wasn't happening consistently enough. Taking control of it, like I said. That's the second failure I want to share with you. Here's the third one. And this one is not as acute, but just in general. In 2015, I would say, I started this podcast in April 2016, early 2015, basically all through the year, almost the entire year of 2015, I was in entrepreneurial hell. And any of you are entrepreneurs listening to this, I'm going to explain what entrepreneurial hell is so you can understand what it is. Maybe you've never called it that, but you may have experienced this. And I've spoken to many entrepreneurs. I think many entrepreneurs experience entrepreneurial hell. Here it is. Every day you wake up, you're running your own business. It is dependent on you and you enjoy it. You enjoy it being dependent on you because you're doing the things that you want to do, whether that's your product, your services, what you're doing in the media space, how you're working with other people, helping others, whatever it is you're doing to provide value and everything that goes into you doing the things to provide value. You enjoy doing them all. So every day you're up doing that work, making it happen, and you find yourself, this is the entrepreneurial hell, you find yourself working and working and working every single day, but you don't even see yourself progressing. You're working. You're doing stuff. You have a to-do list and you're checking things off that list every single day. You're taking notes. You can show somebody, look at all these green checks on my to-do list. I'm definitely getting things done, but your business is not moving forward in any way, shape, or form. This is entrepreneurial hell. And the reason I call it entrepreneurial hell is because usually this happens with a solopreneur, a person who is just by themselves doing everything on their own. I call it Superman syndrome or Superwoman syndrome for the females. You get so caught up in maintaining your business, doing all the maintenance stuff, replying to emails, downloading PDF reports, editing video, uploading, replying to comments, making sure this link is there, editing blog posts, putting them up, getting a picture for it, sharing it on social media, managing your social media, returning these calls, writing these things down. You're doing so much maintenance work, you have no time to do anything that's going to build your business or move it forward. That is entrepreneurial hell. I was caught in entrepreneurial hell for a large chunk of 2015, and I realized that I had Superman syndrome. I realized that doing things the way I was doing them was a losing formula. Now, you may be wondering, well, Dre, if you've been an entrepreneur since like 2010, 2009, 2010, why only in 2015 were you on entrepreneurial hill? Well, this is why. Because in 2015, my business had gotten bigger and bigger to the point that there were more things to maintain. There were more things to do. There were more people to talk to. There were more customers to reply to. There were more things that needed to be done because the business had grown and gotten bigger. I was getting better. I was getting more known, more people knew my name, which meant there was more work to be done, yet I was the only one doing it. I was in entrepreneurial hell. That was a failure. Whether you want to, you may look at that and say, well, that's not really a failure, Dre. Yes, that was a failure because I felt burnt out many times. Many days, it'd be the end of the day. I'm like, damn, I worked all day. Look at all these things I did on my to-do list, but what did I do to move forward? I'm still in the same spot I was in a month ago. I'm still in the same spot I was in 4 months ago. What am I doing? This is a losing formula. I felt like I could multitask my way to success. I'm going to write, record, edit, publish, sell myself, follow up all by myself. And actually, I can do all that. I found out that I could do all that. I found out that I really was Superman and I could do it, but I couldn't do it well. I couldn't do it all well, and I couldn't do it all at the same damn time. And I realized that if my business was going to be successful, I need to be doing all of this, or at least have someone doing it. I needed to be doing this stuff. The stuff that I was doing, I wasn't doing unnecessary things. It was just unnecessary for me to be doing it. So I had to start building a staff. I had to start looking for some people who can handle things, somebody who can edit these podcast episodes, the audio, someone who can look at my website and put things in the right place, someone who can set up the email list, someone who can do post-production on my vlogs and my videos, someone who can do all that stuff so I can be freed up to do what I do best, like record this podcast, come up with the ideas, be on social media, and be in touch with my customers. Those are the things that I want to be able to do. I want to take everything that I don't like doing and get it off my hands. And then some of you may be thinking, if you're an entrepreneur, you may think, well, how are you supposed to do that? How are you going to, you got to pay people. You know, you got to pay people if they're going to work for you. Well, listen, if you don't pay them, you're going to burn yourself out and there'll be nobody to pay. There'll be no money because your business won't be doing anything because you won't be around to do all the work. So you got to bite the bullet. One has to come before the other. Are you going to, you may say, okay, when I start making enough money, then I'll start paying people. That's really not going to work. You know, everybody tries that, but it doesn't work. You got to come out and pay people first. You got to step out. You got to be the first person to step on the dance floor. And then eventually everybody else starts dancing because you went and got some people to do the work, to take it off your hands. This is, again, a conversation I had with myself. Because you went and got some people to do the work that takes it off your hands, now you can do more business. Now more money's coming in. But you got to do that first before you're guaranteed that you're going to get that more money that's going to justify you paying these people. Everybody understand that? That was a failure that I went through. That was the third failure that I went through trying to do everything. And I looked at the best business people out there. They all had, this is one thing I noticed. So I looked at the best people out there in business, the people I look up to in business. They all had teams. They all had more. They were all more than just one person. It was more than just one person working. There were people working, which allowed the head person, whoever that head person is, to do their thing, whether that is selling products, whether that's being on TV, whether it's doing social media all day, whether it's recording videos, whether it's having a podcast, whatever it is that person does best, making music, whatever that person does best, they're free to do what they do best because they have people in place doing everything else. I looked around and said, okay, where the hell is my team? I don't have a team. It's just me. No wonder this isn't working. No wonder I'm in entrepreneurial hell. I'm failing right now as a business person. That's why I call that a failure. Let me recap these three failures so all of you understand this. And again, the reason I'm telling you these things is so you understand everything ain't been perfect and shiny for me. There have been many moments, many times, many situations where things just weren't working. A lot of people can look at me now, especially in the professional world and the business world, when I mention, hey, I'm a 9-year professional athlete, people admire that. People respect it. Why? Because very few people become professionals in a sport. But a whole lot of my career in that sport, I faced a whole lot of failure, a whole lot of things not working. And everything that came before that, which usually leads to a pro career, like a successful amateur career, I didn't have one. I did not have a successful amateur career in any way, shape, or form. And now running a business, there was many periods, many time periods, I'm looking around in business and this isn't working. This isn't fun. This isn't happy. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. This ain't working. The same way you may look at a job and say, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I want to run my own business. Some people run their own business and say, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I got to make some changes. I had to make some changes. So the first failure that I shared with you is my sophomore year of college basketball. Basically, the rest of my college career, how it all collapsed because of my failure to have the proper work habits when it came to practicing with the team. Number two, in my pro career, and how I thought it was going to go a certain way, but it went a completely different way. And how the silver lining in that was that I started focusing on building my brand and my business. And that, because I wanted some control, and that led to everything that led to the podcast you're listening to right now. And the third one is running my business. I realized that the only person running was me. I was on the treadmill running really, really fast, and I was good at running fast. I'm an athlete. I'm in good shape. I was running real fast, but I realized, okay, am I going to have to do this for the rest of my life? I need somebody else to run these miles. Now, so I wisened up and fixed that failure by starting to put some people in place. Those are some failures that I went through, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to understand that I've been through it. The same thing you're going through, the same thing you went through, the same thing you may have gone through already, the same thing you're about to go through in the future that you don't even know you're going through, I've been there. So I'm not speaking here from a position of everything's worked out perfectly. I'm speaking up from a position of things have been messed up. Things have not been good. Things have not looked good. Things have been, I don't know how the hell I'm going to make this work, but I figured it out. And that's what Work On Your Game is all about. I'll see you tomorrow. The Work On Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to dreallday.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. That's dreallday.com/audible. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work On Your Game.